This podcast brought to you by Seats R Us. For a seat to suit, it has to be Seats R Us. Seatsrus.com.au.
Yeah, welcome back to the Brekkie Show here on 98.9 FM. We've got a big guest on today, and Tara, we'd be very excited about this one for a little bit.
I think there was a little squeal that came out of you when you found out.
Not really. I haven't spoken to him on the phone in a little bit, but he's on the line. Patrick Mills, how you going, brother?
Yeah, you're good for a little good squeal every now and again.
Hey, we'll just keep that stuff away from the radio, mate. we will. How's everything going over there, brother? I know it's unprecedented times in USA at the moment, but your basketball's looking good. But how's life going for you?
Yeah, it's going good, brother. Obviously, very strange conditions for us, and it doesn't look like we'll be getting any better anytime soon, but we're doing a good job just to make sure that we can keep playing games throughout the NBA. But it's going all right. You know, we're at home now for a few games before we go on a long road trip here in a couple weeks. So just trying to get some good time at home with the fam.
Pop, now he's obviously really good at dealing with situations. How has he been in this one, mate? Like, it's obviously been different, but how has he got you boys close together and surely, Major's a little bit tighter?
Yeah, it's a good question, because I think what we're going through as an organisation, change of the guard, so to speak, from, what we are known as a winning culture with, our Hall of Fame guys, into transitioning to developing younger guys and getting them to understand the Spurs culture and what it takes to win and then to win championships. So I think the role that I play in this is bridging the gap between both and kind of helping Pop be able to relay those messages to the players. So it's been good. It's been challenging, definitely, at times. And patience, I think, has been a real key. Last year, we didn't make the playoffs for the first time in a number of years, but I think we put a lot of money in the bank in terms of what we can put into this year. So, it's always going to be a lot of learning steps and growing at the same time, but that's what it means to be a professional, right, is to try and develop and adjust and learn on the fly.
Are you enjoying that role, mate, brother? Like, just being a leader? I can tell when I watch your games, and I watch very regularly, when you're coming off the bench, you're really doing your part, and you're showing these young boys, what it's like. I mean, has it just become second nature to you now, being under, some of those older boys that have left?
Yeah, for sure. I think being here for 10 years now, you kind of get that into a comfortable place where you're able to be an effective leader and know what impact you can make and know how to make that impact, I guess. And also being the leader on the Boomers team, on the national team, yeah, that gives me confidence to be able to, just work out ways to be able to implement it into the Spurs. But like always, it's always going to be tricky when you get, new guys in and young boys in and trying to understand the culture and how we do things here. But those challenges, I think you also grow as a player, and I think that's been the best thing for me, is to find out how I can still grow as a player and still find ways to be impactful that way.
Do you feel like you're getting a bit on now in the world? Do you feel like your body's holding right, lad? Because you've put a lot of time in to making sure. I could tell you put a lot of time in to make sure you're looking after yourself a lot better these days. How is the body holding up towards? I don't know how long you're going to keep going, but you look like you've gone up a step this year.
Yeah, you're right, mate. I take a lot of pride in just being available for each and every game.
Yeah.
And, as you know, we play 82 games in a year without including the playoffs. And I think there's something in that, in being able to take pride in being available for games and giving it your all every night. So, I went back to the drawing boards a number of years ago now and just to understand what it takes for you to look after your body, to make sure that your body is in the best possible shape for you to succeed on the court. So, it's kind of I've gotten into a nice little routine of understanding what my body needs. And it's important too, because when you start to think about the national team and how much you play on that,
yeah.
it becomes a year-round thing. So your body does go through a lot. So even more important for you to understand what your body needs. But yeah, you're right. I have focused on that a lot, and hopefully, you know, that can the longevity of that can help me play for a number of years to come.
I think that's what the general public probably misses, the fact that you guys have to train, not only train though, but consistently look after yourself. It's not just you go to training and play a game. It's your whole life has to be perfect, nutrition wise and fitness wise. For you to be able to play like this, I think a lot of people go, oh, well, they go and they play the game, but that's not
a lot of hard work.
Yeah, no, you're right. I think a lot of people don't realize the fact that every day you're training. It might not be physically, but to sit down and have a meal, you know, that's part of training, to know what you need to eat, what your body needs in your system at that particular time, whether it's lunchtime, it's going to be different from dinner, it's going to be different to a post-game situation or after a workout. So there's constant little things like that you only learn when you're in the thick of it all and you understand, the little tricks of the trade and whatnot. You know, even days off, your mind is constantly going to work out, you know, how you can be in the best possible for game time. Now, we're playing four or five, sometimes six games a week over here in the NBA. So making sure that when we do get those days off, that we can mentally switch off. Because that can be the most fatiguing thing at time is mentally, almost more than physically.
How do you cope with mentally? Like, how do you learn to leave it, because obviously being at such a high level, people would, like, I would assume that you are constantly thinking about how to improve and how to get better and what you did wrong. Like, how do you find that time to switch off and go, all right, this is my time, not basketball time?
Yeah,
I think that's another thing that athletes have got to work to develop over their career. It's not something that I think can come easily to one athlete or another, but I think you really need to work on how you can leave your profession at your profession. So when you walk out the door, you can switch off. Now, me, I've always had getaways, whether it's to do with my culture or whether it's to do with hobbies or something like that I can go to, and it takes my mind off it. And I really felt that the more that I'm able to do that, the more hungry and ready I am to go back into the building and really lock in for those times. But you're right, it's, get to understand that early in their career rather than later.
Paddy, not only you have a good game on the field, brother, but you've been doing some great things off it as well. Obviously, you've just started and helped launch this Indigenous Basketball Australian League. Talk us through this. Now, you've obviously been given an opportunity to live out your NBA dream, mate. And look, personally, it's been for me to be able to watch you as a friend develop over the years. It's been amazing. But now you're gonna give back and give it to the next generation. Talk us about this league. It starts on Sunday.
Yeah, look, this is something that's really close to my heart. But it all comes from our culture, you know, and our culture and community and understanding, what you need to do in your part to be able to give back and make an impact. So, you know, no matter if I made the NBA, I'll be still trying to look for ways to be able to give back. So this is actually kind of a unique deal, because this is something that I've always wanted to do. But just because of, a long NBA season followed up by, an Olympics or World Championship, you just never had the time to try and work out how this can get done. But then in March last year, when COVID hit and NBA lockdown took place, we were at home for about 6, 7, 8 weeks, and that was actually the silver lining in this whole deal, was we had nothing else to do but to sit down in the lounge room and kind of, thought this would be the perfect opportunity for us to try and put this together and work out how we can make this happen. So, you fast forward to January now, and we're less than a week away from the opening ceremony of the first round of the Indigenous Community Basketball League. So some that's, you know, really, really close to my heart. But, you know, we created this entity, Indigenous Basketball Australia, and what we, you know, strive to do, what our promise is to inspire and really empower Aboriginal youths and Torres Strait Islander youths so that they can achieve excellence through cultural celebration first and then sporting opportunities next. Mm. So, you know, that's essentially what we're trying to do here is create opportunities and create pathways, but really not being, you know, apologetic in our identity and who we are as Indigenous Australians.
Yeah, mate, look, it's happening everywhere. Thursday Island, Cairns, Logan, Adelaide, Alice Springs, Darwin and Perth. What an amazing job. I mean, it's, look, I've never played basketball before, but I feel like I want to go play.
I feel like you might need some more training in basketball before you get to the NBA, but okay.
I'm not allowed to run with the ball. You can't run with the ball. It's not rugby league drill.
Now, I guess the next thing is, how can community members and youth get involved in this? What's the process behind that?
Yeah, so this is obviously first one year one for us here at IBA and this ICBL, and we're launching throughout 8 different regions throughout Australia, and in year one we're going to have over 1,000 participants.
Wow, that's amazing,
including players and support staff as well that are helping out. So as we continue to grow over the years, we're going to have more regions, we're going to have more age groups. So we're starting with the age group of 14 and under. So I guess the first thing to do, you know, for everyone that's listening is just try and support, you know, the nearest region that might be closest to you, because we're going to eventually grow and become bigger to a place that will be near you, hopefully. But, you know, this is the, you know, pinnacle of Indigenous basketball in Australia. And what we're trying to do is, you know, hopefully inspire other sports and other entities to be able to bridge that gap and do the same thing here. So, you know, this is only the beginning and you know, we'll hopefully be bigger and stronger in years to come.
Now, there's obviously already some Indigenous boys around. Like, I've just noticed there's Tamari Wignes is here in Brisbane, come down from Cairns as well. He's playing for the Bullets here in Brisbane. And so, yeah, obviously, you know, more Indigenous boys getting into the game as well now. But first, I wanted to ask you, Paddy, just before we let you go, Invasion Day for us. Now, I knew you were going to be rocking something cool. You didn't get to play, obviously, on the day against New Orleans, but you did. How important that, you know, for that day for you to be able to, you know, I suppose, don the Indigenous flag and push for your culture?
Yeah, it was funny. Again, one of those unique times where, you know, it's obviously something that I do annually anyway, but our game got cancelled. So then, you know, it gave me a chance to be able to sit in the locker room while we were, you know, waiting to hear what the next moves were, and put some thoughts down about what I was feeling at that time. Yeah, look, I think the biggest thing is to know that how much momentum that, you know, we are gaining for this change, and especially from feeling it and hearing it from the other side of the world, you can definitely, you know, feel the momentum really shifting. Yeah, you know, it was shifting a few years ago, I think, but we're really at this peak now. So, you know, my only advice, you know, to everyone back home, unfortunately I can't be home, you know, during these things, but it is just to keep at it and don't ever give up on this thing, because it's such a significant deal to us and our people. And, you know, the more support that we can get from, you know, our non-Indigenous brothers and sisters as well that want to help this case is always going to be better, because they're the ones that can really make change in this space. So, I don't know, it was just really good to see from afar, at least, you know, everything that went on surrounding that day.
Well, you keep keep pushing it over there as well, brother, because we're proud of you over here in Australia, and we look forward to watching you a little bit more during the year. Good luck for the rest of the year. You keep taking that coffee machine everywhere you go and making your coffees, because I think it might be something that's getting you up, because you're killing it at the moment.
No, I appreciate it. Thank you guys for having me.
No problem,
Paddy
brother.
Mills,
we'll talk to you soon, mate. Have a good one.
This podcast brought to you by Seats R Us. For a seat to suit, it has to be Seats R Us. SeatsRUs.com.au.